Namang Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasad Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Tirtha Swami Tiname Namaste Krishna Padaya Prabhupada Shitatmane Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Bhakti Tirtha Iti Namine Namang Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasad Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nibhishesha Shanyaladi Pashityadi Shatari. So I'm deeply appreciative and really humbled to be in the association of all the devotees here and to have been asked by His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj to share something about Jamuna Devi. It's such a heartwarming memorial. I'm so grateful that I'm not missing it. This morning I was sick and I was thinking, please, you know, let me come and try to say a little something. So somehow I'm here. Thank you very much, Maharaj. So many wonderful things have been said about Yamuna in terms of who she is as a person, what she's left for us as a legacy. What I can recall in my association with her is the intimate friendship between her and my Guru Maharaj Bhakti Tirtha Swami. When we came back from Africa in 1986, this is the initial time when Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj wanted to start urban preaching in Washington, D.C. And he, at that time, was not quite sure how that would happen, because he really didn't have so much support. Anyway, he requested a couple of us, maybe three of us. At that time, actually, Maharaj, I don't know if you knew this, but Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj had sent myself and Yashoda Mayi to Central America to open a temple, just the two of us, two ladies. And he sent a letter in Washington requesting us to come back to from Central America to come back to Washington, D.C., because he wanted to start this urban preaching. And this is when Yamuna came in my vision. She and my Guru Maharaj were really close friends, very close friends. And this manifested many different times, but two times that I specifically remember that friendship was when Ludini left her body, Ludini Devi. And at that time, my Guru Maharaj was really sad because he felt really guilty because Ludini Mataji was preaching in Africa and the arrangement was made, of course, through him that she would be in Africa. And so when we learned about her leaving, my Guru Maharaj became very sad and needed support. And at that time, Dina and Yamuna both would come to my Guru Maharaj and spend time talking with him. And they really helped him so much to just move through that period. It was a difficult period. And they just lovingly, as everybody has shared here, lovingly just made themselves available, made themselves present. Even sometimes it was just by phone. But he relished those calls so much, I remember, because it was painful that Ludini Devi had left and had left all of our association. So Yamuna and Dina, they were very visible at that time, during a period when we were pioneering this preaching center called the Institute for Applied Spiritual Technology. And it was also during this period that my Guru Maharaj went through another difficult time. And again, Yamuna Devi and Dina were there for him, just by their friendship, just this friendship manifested in so many ways. One of the ways that they shared their friendship is they had a place where they stayed in Washington, D.C., and there's a devotee, his name is Bhakta Henry, Dr. Henry, he facilitated so many of Srila Prabhupada's disciples. He had a huge house in Washington, D.C., and anyone that would come to the, any of Srila Prabhupada's disciples that would come, he would make all the arrangements for them, and he would lovingly care for them, as you do here in Chaupati, for Srila Prabhupada's disciples. And so we were starting out very humbly in a very small place. It was a really a one-room place, and there were four devotees living together in that place with His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. So we really couldn't do much in terms of programs. And Yamuna Mataji would offer the place of Bhakti Henry for us to come sometimes to bring the devotees that were coming, newly coming to Krishna consciousness. And so one of those times that I remember, at that time there were about maybe 20 devotees that had started coming to the preaching center. These devotees had no knowledge about Krishna consciousness at all, whatsoever. And so we were introducing them to Krishna consciousness. And Jinnana Mataji was always so enthusiastic about this type of preaching. She was so supportive, and she was always calling us, okay, can you bring the devotees, and will the devotees be come over like that? I think there's something with this mic. Thank you. And so that one time, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj said, okay, arrange for the devotees to go to this house of Bhakta Henry's, and Yamuna Mataji had offered to cook for all the devotees, about 20 devotees. And so His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj didn't come with us, and I was the person that was caretaking the devotees at the time, so I was the one that brought all these 20 devotees to be with Yamuna and Dinatani. And I remember she cooked and prepared amazing lunch prasadam with her own hands, as she lovingly would for so many, many, many devotees. And this particular time, we went there many, many times, but this particular time, she served a dessert. And the dessert was a cake. And the cake was looked like chocolate, but at that time, no one ate chocolate. At that time, and so she served the cake, and so one devotee came to me and said, "Vajralila, this is a chocolate cake," and I said, "Come on!" I thought at the time the devotees are being a little bit offensive, and I said, "How can you even think that? Now, of course, my woman, I would never ever serve us chocolate. You know, this is new devotees. You know, they think like this and." Like this. It was, come on, why would you think she would do that? And so then another devotee came to me and said, I just came out of the material world. I know chocolate. He said, this is not chocolate. I'm telling you, this is not chocolate. And I was so disturbed that they would even think that Imana would give them chocolate. And I remember going back to our institute, and of course Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj called me and said, so how did it go? What happened? He was always eager to hear how the devotees responded when his god brothers or god sisters would embrace them. And so I shared with him, everything went really well, Maharaj, except, you know, these devotees, they were like caught thinking that Yamuna served chocolate cake. And he said, that is ridiculous. How could they think like that? And I said, yeah, I had the same sentiment. And so he said, you need to speak to the devotees and like this. And I said, okay, Maharaj, we'll talk to the devotees. So a few days later, we had a chance to go back to her home for some reason. I don't remember. Something was happening. This time, though, it was just myself. And I believe it was just myself, but Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj and someone else. And maybe it was like a verbal boy, I don't remember. Anyway, I took the opportunity, because I've been trained to always be a little outspoken. Sometimes it's not the best thing, but sometimes. So I asked her, I said, Jamila Mataji, with a straw in my teeth, I want to ask you a question. And she looked at me, she said, did I do something wrong? And I said, no, absolutely not. No. She was always so humble, and she always thought that she was doing something to disturb devotees. She always thought like that. And I said, no, absolutely not. And she said, what, did something happen? And I said, wow. I said, everybody enjoyed the lunch so much. It was so delicious. And I said, and the cake especially was so good. I said, I'm wondering, where was the cake made from? That must be really good carob, something like that. And she says, it wasn't carob. It was chocolate. Was it chocolate? She said, yeah. We always serve proper chocolate. I mean, I serve proper chocolate on the train. And I said, oh, Krishna. So then I didn't know what to do. She says, was that wrong? And I was, I don't know. I don't know. Because this is Jamila. How could I say this is wrong? So I remember that experience. I just remember saying, no, it's fine, no. It's just, you know, and I remember having to go back. And now this is, you know, talking to new devotees coming and apologizing. So sorry, devotees. Yes, Mother Jamila, she informed us that. And then my Guruji was looking, because he never ate chocolate either. And he was saying, that was chocolate, Jamila? And she was like, yeah, yes. So we were both in amazement. And so then I apologizing to the devotees, and the devotees like, we knew that was chocolate. And then later my grandma said, but I would still prefer that the devotees don't eat chocolate. And so we actually didn't eat chocolate. But this was just one little pastime that I can remember. And there was so many, but because of time, I just wanted to share that one that stays in my heart about the mood of how humble she was, how serving she was, and how much she always was thinking how to please others and to not in any way cause a disturbance. She was always like that. She was a private person. She never, ever, ever, as far as I can remember, all the way back to 1986, ever wanted to cause a disturbance. Even when she spoke with my Guru Maharaj many, many times, no one would know so much, because she just wanted to not be so visible, not a visible person. And so we are on our way from India to be with Jamila and Dina, actually, when we leave from here in Florida, and somehow she's gone back to Srila Prabhupada. But just from the short association that we've had, I know that this is very glorious for her to be with Srila Prabhupada. Extremely glorious. Thank you very much.